Congressman Pitts, what was your reaction to the death of Antonin Scalia?
Well, I was heartbroken, as so many millions of Americans were. This was a man who, out of a fervent sense of patriotism, dedicated his life to public service, and he was a voice of conscience, a voice of reason, even a gadfly for three decades on the Supreme Court, at a time when many judges had willfully ignored or discarded the text of the law in favor of their own biases. Antonin Scalia led an intellectual revolution by the sheer power of his eloquence. Scalia's principal stand for originalism, the idea that laws mean today what they meant to the people who enacted them, is common sense and essential to the rule of law, and I hope that his successor will guard as zealously the duly elected laws of our country as he did. I also hope that whoever succeeds him will emulate the virtues that made him admirable in his personal life. He was known for treating everyone with respect and dignity, even those whose arguments he vigorously argued against. He spent every New Year's with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the court's most outspoken liberal. He went hunting with Justice Elena Kagan, another liberal justice. He even advocated for her appointment to the court, to the Obama administration, commending her intelligence, even as he disagreed with her on countless substantive issues. He famously said, quote, "I attack ideas, not people. Lots of good people have bad ideas. If you can't separate the two, get another day job," end quote. We need more public servants like Antonin Scalia, who are zealous for the Constitution, public-spirited, and reject the bitter partisanship that has become endemic in our time.
Do you think that the Senate should confirm a nominee to replace him this year?
Well, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has decided to delay any vote on a replacement for Justice Scalia until after the November elections. And this way, the American people, in effect, can have a vote on what kind of a justice they would like. If they vote for a conservative president, they can expect another originalist like Scalia. If they vote for a liberal, they can expect a liberal justice. Maybe this will increase voter turnout as people realize just how important this decision is. Under the Constitution, the Senate and the House make their own rules, and the Senate can't make the House act, the House can't make the Senate act, the President most certainly can't make the Senate act. The Senate does not have to confirm anyone. The President has been attacking Congress for not voting on a number of his initiatives, but not voting is, in effect, a vote against them. The Senate majority, elected by the American people, just like the President, is voting against another liberal nominee from President Obama.
Could you give us a national security update?
Well, on Wednesday, terrorists struck Ankara, the capital of Turkey, killing over 28 people, wounding another 61. And last week, I joined my colleagues in voting for increased sanctions against North Korea. I also voted for a bill to put a stop to the President's Iran agreement until he can certify that none of the money from sanctions relief will go to terrorists. Secretary of State John Kerry, others have admitted that they expect that some of the money will go to terrorists, and yet they support the agreement anyway.
What about ISIS?
ISIS remains a grave threat to our security. The United States has succeeded in hurting their capabilities by means of airstrikes, but also by economic warfare. American oil production has driven down the price of oil so low that ISIS has had to cut spending dramatically. ISIS has, in recent weeks, reduced the salaries of their fighters. They even reduced their meals to two a day. This financial pressure, in turn, will hurt morale and hasten their defeat. But we must not be complacent. The website Twitter recently shut down more than 125,000 accounts that they say have been involved in activity related to ISIS. Terrorists use the Internet to recruit new terrorists and to coordinate attacks, and this high number of accounts is troubling and a reminder that we must be vigilant against cyber threats, too.
Do you have a good news headliner for us this week?
I do. In previous episodes, we've talked about the decline in homelessness in Lancaster County. I'm pleased to say that this reduction is also happening at the national level. In 2015, the incidence of homelessness decreased by about 2% nationwide. According to the federal government's Department of Housing and Urban Development, there were 565,000 homeless people across our country. More than 47,000 of them are veterans. About 83,000 are chronically homeless. While we have eliminated veteran homelessness in Lancaster County, we still have a long way to go, and I thank all of those who volunteer and sacrifice to help others, especially my fellow veterans across this great country.